You know how important it is for you to have brothers and sisters and men and women around you who you could be open to and honest to and say, listen, you know, I have a problem. You know, I have a problem with thoughts. I have a problem with the internet. I have a problem with masturbation. I have a problem with finances. Can someone help me? You know how important it is for you to have someone who knows you. I don't want you to hide behind Scripture, hide behind spiritual things, hide behind the Word. These are things that are part of our life, but they're not you. You are you. And it's important that you make friends and do things to open up to each other and not just pretend. Is that a good way of putting it? Because in a lot of places where I was, I could not show weakness. It was like a pack of walls. If you show weakness, they'd eat you up. You need to find a brother and a sister and a woman and a man or someone that you can open up to, that you can fellowship with. So this is why fellowship is so important. If I went to a baseball, let's go to a baseball game. Bring your Bibles because we're going to have a Bible study between the eighth and ninth inning. Leave your Bible at home. Go have fun at the baseball game. Do the prayer meetings. Do the worship meetings. But have fellowship, too, of building and establishing friends. Now, why this is so important now is because one day you'll have a wife or a husband. And you'll have children. And that's when we switch friends for family. Okay? Where you need to spend time with your children. You know, the only reason I'm coaching soccer is so I can spend time with my son. Because I spend a lot of time away from my son in the name of serving God. I also spend a lot of time with my son. Now here's the last one, called me time. Now, as you get married, you'll find you'll lose some of your me time. When you get children, you'll find you lose some of your me time. I still have a sliver of me time. But let's say I want to serve. Where does serving come from? Where do I take the time to serve more from if I want to serve more? Do I take it from spiritual growth time? No. This is your anchor. Your spiritual growth is the most important thing you fight for and you hold on to your whole life. Now, it can be moved. I'm praying from 9 to 12. And someone says, hey, I need help moving my bed at 10 o'clock. Can you do that? Well, do I have some me time I can give up today? I do. Oh, I'll tell you what. Instead of praying from 9 to 12, how about I pray from 8 to 11 and give up a little bit of that extra coffee time? See, I'd get calls from people. I remember when I was over the Bible college, running the Bible college students, and I'd always get excuses. Like, I can't make it to church on Sunday morning. I need to sleep in because I have to work till 4 in the morning on Sunday. I say, okay, well, that makes sense. Do you work Sunday night? Because we don't have church Sunday night. Oh, no, I don't work Sunday night. So what you're saying is you want to give up church time for me time. Because really, why don't you just stay up, have an extra shot of coffee, and then tomorrow night, instead of hanging out with your friends, sleep in. When I youth pastored, I had a leadership group, and one of the girls told me, she said, I can't come to church Wednesday night because I have to study for my test. I said, well, that's fair. Okay, no problem. We'll see you on Sunday. Well, church was 7 till 9, and then we went out to eat. A bunch of us went out to the restaurant, and we walked into the restaurant. There she was at 9 o'clock eating with her boyfriend. I said, I thought you had study. Oh, I did. I studied from 7 to 9. See, she didn't want to give up her boyfriend time. She wanted to give up her church time. Your spiritual growth is the anchor of your life, but it is not the excuse to be removed from any of these things. These are things that I think every person needs to have in their life every day. And if you simply do these things every week, every day, guess what happens? One day you wake up and God is blessing you. One day you wake up and you're in your calling. One day, it's not, you don't strive for your calling. You don't strive. You just do this every day. And one day you wake up and you're like, wow, look what God's given to me. Because I've been faithful to do these things. I wasn't disqualified because when it was hard to show up and be available, I was there. So when God asked me to do something hard, I did it because it was normal for me not to get my way. That little voice that says, I'm not available. I'm only available when it's comfortable. That's your flesh. And that flesh will speak to you the rest of your life unless you kill it. How do you kill it? I used to think when I prayed in tongues that my tongue would go around and just slap everything out of the way. You know, like I didn't have to worry about anything. I didn't have to conquer anything. I didn't have to move anything. I just pray in tongues. One day, I just wake up and everything will be perfect. Wow, I don't have to make a hard decision. I don't have to. But praying in tongues does not set you free. Praying in tongues, because you're already set free. Praying in tongues gets you to the place where you are able to kill the thing that's stopping you. But you still have to deal with it. So anything that changes in your life comes from your me time, not from your spiritual growth time. Now, I've worked since I've been, my first job, I was 13 years old. I've worked lots of jobs. My first job was at a restaurant. I was a dishwasher on weekends. Filipino Village, it was called. They paid me tips, and I got all the egg rolls I could eat. And work is part of your life. But there was a day when I was 35 years old when God told me to stop working. Okay? Working to pay my bills. When I was 35 years old. And that's when I started my own personal ministry. And I thought I'd just travel and preach. I thought, oh, that's great. I've been preaching. I'll travel and preach. And God will take care of me. My wife was pregnant. And after I resigned from the position I held in ministry just to go into this full-time ministry and no longer was receiving a paycheck, God spoke to me and said, now that you resigned, I'm also going to tell you I don't want you to travel and preach. I said, well, how am I going to pay my bills? He said that was his problem. My job was to sit and pray and get to know him. For 2 years, we lived on $125 a month for our grocery budget. Our one vehicle was lit up with engine lights, brake lights, Christmas lights, had dents in it, broken down. We shared the vehicle. I would drive here in the morning, then drive back, and our kids were so young they didn't go to school, so it was fine. We didn't get vacations. We didn't get restaurants. I didn't even know there was restaurants for 2 years. You know, we were learning to become and becoming what God told us it was time to be. It was difficult, but I'm so thankful I did it. But here's the thing. Before that, I spent 13 years doing this, serving in places I did not like, and I did this, spiritual growth, and I did this, working, and I did this, learning from others. I didn't do much of this. Except I did get married, so I did okay. You do not have the right, if I can say it this way, to pull yourself out of any of these things. Your life is not your own. It's not your right to say, I'm going to work less than, you know, say, I'm talking about you set a standard that, to pay your bills, not. You know, if you're married, you got to work more. Got it? Okay. You know, some guy says, you work enough to pay your bills, support your family. You decide to get married, now you support your wife. Okay, you don't live off your wife, you support your wife. When I got kids, I made kids. I made children. When I made children, I said, kids, your dad will be in your life until you're 18. I'll make sure you eat and you have a dad in your life. Because that was what I made. If you don't want that, don't get married. Then you're okay. You don't have to worry about it. But if you want to get married, you now are responsible, young man, to W-O-R-K. But you can't take from work for spiritual growth because you got to pay your bills. You got to eat. Your wife has to eat. You're not supposed to take from your growth, your spiritual learning from others, your education or your church, if you have a good church, to work more or fellowship. You take away from your me time. This is where you get your extra time, from your me time. You don't need much me time. Because this is where I find most young people are at. Let me show you what I think most people are at. Now, I'm not talking about the Baptist church. I'm talking about you guys. You're usually working okay. Your spiritual growth, I hope, is okay. Your education is probably more than what I got allotted for you, I'm sure. Serving, I find, usually in prayer center with kids, is a little tiny. Fellowship's okay, but I find that a lot of you have a lot of me time. You know, I've done my prayer time, put my hours in. When I went to school, you got a lot of me time. You don't need me time. You need to get used to not having a lot of me time. So what I want to ask you to do is, if you're low on your serving, to take some of that me time and fill up that serving a little bit. Find something, an area to give of yourself where you don't get rewarded. Because this is where it's dangerous. If your view of ministry is when you get rewarded, you'll never be a servant to the people. How many have been in services when you know the preacher's after your money? I mean, you just know. He's not saying it. You just know that. What are you doing? I'm just waiting for him to take up the offering. I mean, I've been in so many services, I can tell. They're preaching away, and they make a comment about finances. I thought, oh, I can tell my wife. I was like, the offering will be in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. There it comes, 4, 3, 2. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is telling me it's time to receive an offering. You know, I've been in lots of those services. You know how many ministers? I was with a man. He said he was with his fiance, and they were having a hard time. And the Lord spoke to him and said, "You're loving yourself through your fiance." And to me, that was so profound, because that's where most ministers around the world are. They love you, but really, they're loving you to get something from you. And a lot of times, it's not money. Sometimes it's just to be looked up to. To satisfy something inside of them. They're motivated to do something because they're getting something out of it. Serving God means you do it because He asks you to do it, not because you get something out of it. In your whole life, I'm not talking to young people who I expect to go out and party tonight. I'm not talking to young people who I expect to be nice people, and we got enough people being nice Christians. You're here because I believe you got enough in you to follow God to the end of your race. I can't tell you how many times I've been with Pastor Dave and we've had to do things we didn't like. When he was so tired, I remember being out to eat with the people, because after service they take you out to eat, and I watched Pastor Dave so tired, almost falling asleep, but being so humble to sit there because they asked him to. They're in this conference. I preached, and here is Pastor Bronk, who I love, Pastor Jim Martin, who I respect, Gary Carpenter. Come on, Dave Roberson sitting there while I'm preaching? How humble are they to put up with me? Seriously, you know, hey, kids, sit down. Let the adults take over here. Let me fix this a little bit here. He didn't mean this. You know? How humble a man are they to sit there. Do you understand? They could be doing 1,000 things. Gary Carpenter has been preaching here at this church for years, and he's not on staff. What kind of man does that? What kind of man like Gary Carpenter, who can travel and preach and make a great living, is living in a little house with his wife because God told him to stay here? That's a man of God. But it's not a man of God in the spiritual sense. It's a man of God in the character sense. When I was 18 years old, I prayed for a guy and his deaf ear opened up. When I was 19, I was on full-time ministry. In 1920, 21, I had the biggest youth group in Canada. I had one of the largest churches in Canada. And I was so frustrated because people respected me because of the anointing. But they didn't respect me because of character. Because I didn't have much character. Character has to be earned. Respect has to be earned. And it's not earned because you hear God. It's not earned because you're nice. It's earned because you help people. You love people. You sacrifice. So these are the five things that I believe every one of us should live by. I still live by these five things. My work has become connected with my spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Because I'm now a full-time preacher. I get more time to pray. But who has a right to tell you to stop working? Who? Only God. It's not your life to say, I'm going to quit working and pray more. Some guy with a wife and two kids says, hallelujah, I'm going to pray and I'm going to sacrifice my time and pray. But what they're sacrificing is their family time and not their me time. I had one young man say, I want to pray from 6 to 8 every night because I got to work and everything else. I said, no, you don't. Why are you praying from 6 to 8? That's your family time. You got a wife and kids. You need to pray from 5 to 8 in the morning is what you need to do, sacrifice your sleep time. Because many people hide behind, I'm praying, I'm fasting, and they steal from the wrong place. If you're really serious about it, it's your me time that suffers only. You can do these things. You can find a place to serve. Yes, you can. I don't have a church. Go feed some poor people. Well, that's works. Yeah, it's work, but it's only works if you're trying to get something out of it. It's only works if you're trying to please God to give you something. It's not works if you're doing it just to help people. That's called ministry. Ministry is only ministry when it changes someone else's life. And you don't have to be a preacher to be a minister. You can start right now today by serving. I was in Brazil and I was trying to share how we're all called and the importance that everyone has. I said, I'm the preacher, and I had a translator with me speaking English into Portuguese. So she's telling them Portuguese. And I said, you know, even tonight, here I am preaching with my Portuguese interpreter. She is more important than I am. They all looked at me funny. Who's she? She's just an interpreter. You're the preacher. You're the anointed man of God. I said, oh, no, watch. I said, don't interpret. And I began to talk to him, and they all looked at me because they couldn't understand me. She's more important than I am. She was serving like me. You all have a place. These are the five things. Now, God could rearrange these. A young man who says, I'm going to go into prayer, and they tell their wife, I'm leaving you for 30 days. And you're my kid, so I can go pray. And then it sounds justified because I'm going to build my spiritual growth. Then the checks come in, or the bills come in, and more bills come in. And now they spend the next 5 years fixing the damage to their family because they thought it was justified to take from work and responsibility to go pray. Where do you take your time from? Your me time. If you do these five things, God can rearrange them anytime. Let him rearrange them, but let him be the one who rearranges. Because when God took me out of work, I didn't know how I was going to pay my bills. I thought I was going to lose everything. My family did not suffer. He paid my bills. But he's the one who told me. Pastor Dave had a vision. Remember the vision of the woman preacher that came out and said, one of you must have missed their call. And Pastor Dave was sitting there all by himself. See, that was God telling Pastor Dave, it's time for you to quit your work. If God tells you to, guess what? He'll take care of you. If you do these five things every day, just get up, go to work, spiritual growth, education, that could be through church or learning, find a place to serve somewhere, fellowship, make friends, honest friends, real friends. There's times when I was in running the Bible college, I got really busy. I won't tell you how bad, how busy it became with everything I was doing. But I would start to sleep in my prayer time. Because I'd pray from 6 to 8:30 every morning, and then I'd run the school and have extra prayer time in. But I started sleeping because I wasn't getting home from my duties till midnight, 12:30. And that was happening all the time. And so a friend of mine, Travis, he was a Bible college student. He came up to me, a new Bible college student, and said, I really want to know God. I said, I'll meet you at 6. So now, if I don't show up at 6... Travis is going to be there by himself. So we begin to call each other at 5 in the morning. We made a deal. I'll call you at 5. You call me at 5. If you don't show up at 6, I'm going to call you a girl. I'm going to call you a sissy. And every morning for a year, we call each other at 5 in the morning. We say, are you up? And if one of us made an excuse, we'd say, well, just put your, well, I won't say exactly what we said, but put your skirt on when you come in. There was days I didn't want to pray. But the only reason the only thing that kept me going was my fellowship, my friends. There were days I didn't want to come to church, but the only reason I came was because I had been committed. There was days where I didn't want to show up, but the only reason I did was because I had made a promise to do something for somebody. And then I'd want to pray again. How many have been through cycles where you don't want to pray? It's okay, you can put your hand up. See, if that's all you got hold of is, I just have spiritual growth, and you don't have friends who you're accountable to, or leaders you're accountable to, or you're not available for anything else, you got to keep that up. But you can have five different things keeping you growing in God for the rest of your life. And what will happen is every day you just do these things. You'll wake up one day, and you'll watch how God will give you the things you gave up. How many people know of friends who are chasing their calling? You know, they're chasing their calling. Sure they are. Lots of people are. I mean, they're chasing their calling. They're not letting God give it to them. They're trying to make it happen. They should be chasing spiritual growth is what they should be doing. Spiritual growth means I'm going to spend more time in prayer than I am doing what I'm called to, because God will tell me when I'm supposed to do what I'm called to. All right. That's my speech. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. When I was your age, I was so far behind you. It's ridiculous. You guys are so far ahead. Now, some of you may be a little more messed up than others, but you're still miles and miles ahead of where I was at your age. I promise you. I am not supposed to be doing what I'm doing today because I was so disqualified. I thank God for the times where I had someone to encourage me, someone to instruct me. I thank God for the times. Now, I didn't like it when I did it, but I thank God for the times now, because I'm not supposed to have a pretty wife and a healthy home. My mom was married 5 times. I'm supposed to be divorced 3 times already. I'm supposed to be looking for my 4th wife right now. But I don't have to, because these are the things that brought me through everything. The one area that I've been so thankful for the last couple of years has been fellowship. Because all my fellowship before was always built around spiritual things. It was never built around friendship, getting to know each other, being at the same level, not just trying to position myself over you. See, I'm not comfortable being friends with you, so I'm going to give you a word. Hallelujah. See, Why can't we just be friends? Can't we know each other, love each other, encourage each other? That's what you're supposed to be doing with each other, is falling in love with each other, becoming friends, friends that last a lifetime. I have friends right now all over the world that I'm so blessed to have that I didn't deserve. But I have friends now. Friends that are with me, that I'm with forever, that I'm honest with. I don't, you know, when I go home tonight, well, not tonight because my mother-in-law's in town. So, but when it's just my family, my son makes fun of me all the time. Daddy, put your shirt on. Daddy, he pokes my belly. Put your shirt on. He's 7. I'm like, you're 7. Shut up. You know, it's my house. I walk around my family. I walk around with my shirt off because they're my family. That's my family. I won't do it in front of you, but if you became family, I would. Right? That's family. It's not just walking the same walk. It's becoming friends, vulnerable. That you've not everyone. You don't tell everyone your business. But what if you have someone, a couple people who you're open to, that know your business and still like you for you? When you're picking a spouse, don't try to impress a girl. I mean, you have to impress them a little bit, but don't become someone that you're not. You know, you ever see that one video? I think it was a YouTube video. This really pretty girl walks by these old guys, and they're all talking, their bellies hanging out. She walks by, they're all chest out, you know. Can you imagine if that's how you impress your girl? You're like, your chest is out. How you doing? Nice to meet you. Oh, you're cute. Thank you. Thank you. You're buff. Yeah, I'm buff. And then, you know, 2 months later, you're still holding your breath trying to keep her impressed because that's how you want her. How about you just relax and get to be yourself and you find someone who loves you for you? Then you wake up every day and you have someone who loves you for you. You don't have to impress them your whole life. You don't have to keep them. They like you for you. A lot of marriages in ministry fail for a lot of these reasons. But number one, because of fellowship. They're not close to their mate. Because of serving. Because one of them serves, the other one doesn't. You know, your whole life, you're going to follow God. Your whole life, you don't get to do what you want. So don't practice. Why practice that today? Why build 10 years of doing what you want for the hope that one day he'll call you to a life of not doing what you want? How about right now you start living a life? Now, here's Greg. How many of you have heard Greg preach before? All right, Greg, you take time. I know you do a lot of Skype stuff, right? You take time. Do you get paid for that? Oh, you do get paid.
No.
Well, can I? Well, all right. You pay for it. But that takes time from your family. You work a job, right? Full-time job. So here's a man who serves some of you by ministering that doesn't have to do it. I don't have to be here. I'm not getting a paycheck tonight. I'm here for one reason, because I believe in you. I love you, but more than I love you, I believe in you. I don't care if you like me tonight as much as I love you enough to tell you I believe in you. And I want to see you succeed. 10 years from now, 20 years from now, you guys will be the guys up here hopefully preaching. That's the goal. Maybe me and Greg will be sitting in our chairs cheering you on, like Dave and Greg and Gary are cheering us on. You are supposed to grow, but it doesn't just happen. Listen, I remember, I don't mean to keep talking, but I'm just going to keep talking. When I decided to, I was a week away from university. I played soccer. I had a scholarship. And I was a week away from university. I was going to be a teacher. And I found God. I really like started to find God, really serve him. I was 18 years old. And I decided I was going to pursue ministry and intern at the church, which meant they didn't pay me money. I just served for free. And my parents came to me and said, "You don't need to do that. You need to go get a career." Now, my parents were just watching out for me. They didn't want a bum around the house, and they didn't want me to fail. And I said, "You need, you're 1 week away. You got a scholarship. Go get university. I said, no, I know I'm supposed to do this. I'm going to volunteer at the church and intern at the church. And they said, this pastor, he had a career and then he went in the ministry. And this pastor, he had a career and then he went in the ministry. He got, go get your career. So then when you go into ministry, you have something to fall back on. But I knew what I was supposed to do. Now my parents respect me. Now they love it. Now they show me off to everyone. But in those days, I had to make choices to follow God that didn't make sense. See, don't wait till you're too old. I mean, I was youth pastoring, and I was out, they had me sweeping the floor before every service. You know, sweeping the floor is not dirty business. It's what ministry is. Ministry is meeting the needs that need to be done, not doing what you like to do all the time. See? If I could tell you the stories of the men of God that you respect in this place, Dave Roberson, Gary Carpenter, Derek, Darren, all the staff upstairs, of the sacrifices, the heart of servitude they have, you and I would be embarrassed by how little we do for God. Don't let that pride push you around that you're only good for spiritual things. Because serving God is always spiritual. It's not just prophesying and preaching. It's feeding. It's helping. It's where the need is at. When Jesus prayed for the bread, remember, the fish and the loaves, and they multiplied and they fed the 5,000. How many baskets were left over? Someone tell me? 12. Well, that's curious, because there were also 12 disciples. Jesus prayed for the bread and loaves and gave it to the 12 to distribute. It's all ministry. The guys who set your chairs up, the ones who will listen to this message, if they put this message, we use this message. There's people in Australia who listen to Gary Carpenter preach, to Dave Roberson preach, from Australia. In Australia. Now, what if we had no Darren, no Max, no Serge up there, no one running sound, just the preacher? And the guy in Australia would never hear Dave Roberson. Thank God for every job, because the cameraman is just as important than the preacher if you can only watch it on video. Are you understanding me? Who gets all the glory? Oh, the preacher does. But the cameraman is just as important. Find a place to be involved. Don't ever take from your spiritual growth. That's your anchor. That is the core. It's what's going to produce so much change and maturity in you. But it's not the only thing. Amen? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Do these things every day. And one day you'll wake up and you'll be in your calling. One day you'll wake up and you'll have whatever dreams God gave you, He'll give them to you. Okay? 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And that's where I'll finish. Fellowship. I missed out on fellowship for a lot of years because I hid behind ministry. I was insecure, so I hid behind my relationship with God. You know, this is so important to have friends who know you. You know, friends. The thing with friends will call you out if you're making up stories. You know, that's what good friends are for. Hey, quit being so spiritual. You know, God showed me that. No, He didn't. You know, I had one friend that was in the newspaper. He was so insecure. He was in the newspaper. Hurricane coming to Florida. It was in the newspaper. And I know he read that newspaper. And that morning he walked in, he said, I had a dream last night of a whirling wind. I said, just shut up. I had another friend, he'd come up, he'd preacher, he'd say, I was driving the church and God popped this saying into my head. It was a good saying, he made this saying. Well, he didn't know I took the same road to church and it was on a sign, on a church sign. So I said, hey, nice try. You need that. You need people who can call you out. You won't have that if they're all just there to love yourself through. Get friends. This is your church right here. This group, get to meet this group. This group, now don't make friends with people you came with. That's so boring. You know, it's hanging on tight, you know. Make yourself get to know each other. You have such an opportunity that I wish I had when I was your age, to have people of like faith, of like heart, that you can be friends with forever. Now you've got Facebook and internet and email and, you know, all the stuff I didn't have when I was your age. You know, I don't think we had email started when I was your age, I think. But we didn't have email. You have such an opportunity to have friends across the world that is so, so powerful. So please, the rest of this week, get to know each other. Really, just get to have coffee together, go out to eat together. You don't need to spend a lot of time with adults, you know. You know, you can, but don't. Get to know each other. Enjoy each other. Amen. I didn't mean to take so long, but I'm glad I did. Is there anyone who has a question that they want to ask? I guess there's no dumb question, but try to keep it in line with what we're talking about. Does anyone have a question? It's okay if you do. I'll be happy to try my best to answer. Yes. Yes. Okay. College is tough, all right? What I think about college is, if you know the direction, say God tells you, you know you're supposed to be a nurse. You can't show up at the hospital and say, God told me I'm a nurse. You have to be educated to be a nurse. So if God tells you a specific direction, then go get educated. Education is good if you know where you're going. But I know so many people who went to education to have a career or a degree so they get paid more, and they never get paid more. Because people don't pay you because you have a degree. They pay you if you're good at what you're doing. Right? So going to college just to go to college, in your world, I would say, find direction first, you know. And I'm not trying to give you bad advice. I'm just trying to give you find direction first, okay. And so, if you feel like you know where you're going, and college is how you get there, go to college. Yeah. Yep. Good question. Anyone else? All right, I won't make this last too long. Anyone else? 5, 4, 3, 2. All right, thank you for letting me have your time. I had initially planned to have more just a fellowship, but I really, as we got closer to tonight, I felt really impressed that I wanted to share this with you. Because a lot of you don't have pastors to speak into your life at home. You don't, you know, hearing from the pulpit is a lot different than hearing face to face, you know. And this is stuff I only share. I don't preach this from the pulpit. This is stuff that you won't hear in any of my tapes from the pulpit, because that's not my place in a church. But if you came to my house and asked me how to be a man of God, how many have heard the speech before? Sure. Yeah. Yeah, all of our guys. Yeah. You'll wake up one day, and a lot of things that you fight, you won't fight. A lot of things that you dreamed about. See, you don't have the luxury of chasing your calling. I'm supposed to be a preacher, so I'm only a preacher. We need to sweep the floor. Yeah, but I'm called to preach. No, you're called to serve. So when you get to the podium, see, when I preach, it's like Tim said, we're here to serve you. I hear a lot of preachers, not here, but I hear a lot of preachers through the years, who weren't there to serve me. They were there to use me to get something for themselves. See, but when you learn that serving is what life is and following God, then when you're speaking, when you're ministering, when you're given $1 billion, let's say you're called to business. Do you know that you don't get any extra credit for giving $1 billion than the guy who's running camera? Do you still want to give that $1 billion? See, that's the maturity that comes with serving. Is I'm giving this billion, but I'm just serving. I'm no better than the guy who's sweeping the floor because we're meeting a need. I'm no more important than you. I'm no important than Darren or anyone. I'm here to serve you. That's what we do. The kids, the guys who brought this down. Aren't you glad you got to see this diagram? That's serving. Where's the need? The rest of your life, you're going to serve God. And it's worth it. He gives you things. You don't earn them. Everything I have, my house, my cars, God's blessed me with. I don't deserve it. I don't even know how I got them. God blesses me. This is what I do every day. And then tomorrow I wake up, I do it again. I don't have to chase opportunity. You know, I haven't handed out cards. I haven't met preachers. Hey, you need a good preacher? You know, it's right here. Book me. I don't have to do that because God promotes me when he wants to. But he always meets my need. All right, I'm going to stop. Let me pray for you, and then it's still early, so I apologize. I should have thought to get you pizza. Next year, remind me. We'll get you extra cheese. But more important than that, I want you to fellowship. I want you, if you want to go out for coffee, if you want to go out to eat, grab someone you don't know and go make friends with them. You never go wrong making friends, okay? Let me pray with you. Father, I thank you right now for such a group of young people who are going to change the world. They're going to stomp around this earth and carry this message of the gospel beyond Pastor Dave and Gary, beyond all of us. These are the ones that you're going to use. And the ones who couldn't make it are also the ones you're going to use to change the world. So, Father, I thank you that whatever they're facing in their life, the character flaws, the weaknesses, the lack of discipline, the confusion with being young and the struggles, you are not ashamed of them. You're not embarrassed by them. You're right with them because you love them. Father, I thank you right now that they'll never be alone the rest of their life. And tonight I ask you just to place a deposit into them of that peace, that they'll never wake up feeling abandoned or alone the rest of their life. Father, thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I can't tell you how proud we are of you, how much we love you and believe in you. Keep changing the world. I can't wait to see 10 years from now. I can't wait. 10 years from now. Can you imagine, Greg, 10 years from now? Unbelievable. Don't stop. I've been in 1,000 meetings with 1,000 preachers, and this place preaches the truth. Don't let go of the prayer center. And don't let go of each other. I expect to see lots of fun this week, lots of smile faces, lots of friends. Don't sit with your group. Mix a little bit. Okay? You are dismissed. God bless you.